All right, as we bring in the third base coach of the San Francisco Giants, he's been in uniform for over 2,000 wins, and that is Ron Wotus. Well, how are you?
Good morning, Marty. I'm in the dugout here at the Oakland Coliseum, and it's hard to find a quiet spot. We got all our favorite cameramen here getting their cameras ready. Got MLB checking the phones here in the dugout, so if you hear a little noise, that's what's going on. Of course, they got a little smooth jazz playing at the Coliseum, so the groundskeeper can nail drag the field with some comfortable music.
I know Clay Wood is the groundskeeper over there. He does a great job because he had a setup for the Raiders. Can you imagine that, having to do that? And you know, but for me, watching the games at the Coliseum, it's a funny ballpark. Is it a good ballpark to play in, you think, as a visitor?
Well, I think that a couple things that you like about it is the crowd. Obviously, in the Bay Bridge series, you know, some of the guys that the first year that have been a part of the, you know, with fans in the Bay Bridge series, they love the atmosphere, you know. They got the drums beating. It's loud. It's like a soccer match. And, you know, what a game they got to see yesterday. I think both teams gave the fans what they came to see. And, you know, in the dugout. The dugout is nice. It's probably the best place where you can sit down and see the whole field. You know, you don't have rails in front of you, or you can't, you know, I got to give signs to the catchers when there's runners on base, and, you know, you got rails and things blocking your view. Here you can sit in the dugout. You have a clear view. So those are some of the nice things about this ballpark. But the foul territory, the hitters don't like it, and the pitchers love it. So there you go.
Well, and for you guys, now, Antoine Richardson yesterday got a foul ball, and he had to throw it into the stands over the net. He didn't get it over the net.
I know, and I saw that. I didn't say anything, but I got a foul ball like four innings later, and, you know, it is a long way because it's like 30
yes.
yards or 20 yards to the side. So I said, I got to show him up. So instead of just throwing it to the bat boy, I whipped that thing over the net just so I could one-up him.
yeah. I mean, it's a long throw for a coach to get it over there. All right, very good. I'm glad you did that. But here's Lamont Wade. Well, we've talked about him all year long. There's thunder in that bat. And, you know, rough is due up. You've got the, you know, Trevino, righty-righty. No hesitation. Here comes Lamont Wade.
Yeah, he's done a great job. And he doesn't seem to be affected by getting a start or pinch hitting. You know, he takes a good swing. He's got good plate discipline. And when that ball's in the zone where he likes it, he certainly takes a whack at it. We're going to start calling him the assassin because he hit some real big home runs for us. And what a job he's done coming over from Minnesota and not getting a chance over there and getting an opportunity here to play. Better than anybody could have expected, you know, how he's hitting the ball at the ballpark. I mean, it's just fantastic.
Well, Susan Schlesinger had a nice article about the game, and she pointed out some facts on Wade, and I didn't know this. Well, he's 6-for-11 in the ninth inning. How about that?
Yeah, no, that's where the assassin comes from a little bit. I mean, he's gotten a lot of big hits for us. And, you know, I mean, when he comes to the plate, as I said, any time, I feel like he's going to give you a quality at bat and get his swings off. Very seldom do you see him, you know, leave the zone or take three strikes. He gets his rips in, and that's what you want to see when you're coming in a pinch hit situation.
And not to be overlooked in that ninth inning, which was really very exciting. And, I mean, you've got the best seat in the house for this whole 2021 season at third base. You see this unfolding every day in front of you. So not to overlook it, but the walk that Belt got to get it going in the ninth, a huge walk.
Yeah, it is. I mean, any time you can bring the tying run to the plate in the ninth inning, you know, the other dugout's a little uneasy because they know one swing of the bat and it's over. And it's the same way on our end, you know. You love to have a two-run lead with your closer coming in. You'd like to have more, but a one-run lead, it just takes one swing of the bat to tie the game. A two-run lead, you have to get somebody on base. And as a pitcher, you know, the last thing you want to do is walk somebody. You want them to earn it. But we know that's what Belt does extremely well. He's not going to leave the zone. And, you know he can hit the ball out of the ballpark. He hit one out earlier in the day. So when you face guys with power, and discipline, it's tough. And Trevino didn't want to lay one down the middle, and he ended up walking him. And then here comes Lamont with the big hit.
Mm, boy, what a day. What an exciting game. And the series is 1-1, and you go to the kid today, Logan Webb, and I said it on the open. Well, if you need a win or you need a well-pitched game, Logan Webb is the guy. He's won six straight. He's given up two earned runs or less than 11 straight. How about that?
Yeah, he's throwing the ball really, really well. His two-seamer has got great movement on him. He's been throwing strikes. He's doing the things I think we all expected him to do since we first saw him throw. And he had a great spring training for us, but really hasn't found his groove until this point in the season. And if you're going to find your groove, I'd much rather have him find it now opposed to the first 2 months and fizzle out, because we really need him at this point in time. So hopefully he can keep another quality start going and be a force for us.
Well, he's got that chin. You know, he looks at you and he puts that chin out like a boxer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I call him Cobb. There's his nickname. He's Cobb Webb to me. And I don't know why, but I like that name for him. He's a lot of fun to have on the club, too.
All right. So you may be busy today in the dugout when the team is on the field, because seven stolen bases, one caught stealing against him. And, whoa, this A's team, when I watched them, they never ran at all. They didn't do anything. Now you got people run. It's the old Tony La Russa, double steals and all sorts of stuff going on. Webb, seven stolen bases, one caught stealing. I'm sure the A's are going to take advantage of that.
Well, they have been. They've been trying to take advantage of anybody that's not paying attention to runners or that's slow to the plate. They got a couple of really good base stealers in Marte and the shortstop. What's his name? It eludes me at this moment.
Andrus. Elvis Andrus.
Andrus. Yeah, and these guys have been doing this for a lot of years, especially stealing third. And they know how to read a pitcher. You know, there's a lot of video. And you got to mix it up. And we all know pitchers are creatures of habit. They fall into certain patterns. And they're not afraid to, take a chance. You saw two inside moves in the series. You know, we got nailed with it. We had Marte nailed with it, meaning, you know, the inside move where the guy's taking off for third and the pitcher turns around, he lifts his leg and spins around and protects against the steal. But we threw it away and Marte ended up scoring. But that's one of the, you know, few things you have to combat that, unless you mix up your head looks and you slide step and you get the ball quicker to the plate, like Leon did tremendous for us. He held the ball, he slid step. So, you know, with those guys at second, you have to treat them like a Ricky Henderson at first base. You got to do all the things you need to do to keep him from running, and they're still going to try to go at some point. So, they'll try to take advantage. And as you said, it's really different for the A's because for years they didn't steal. They didn't run. 3-2, they didn't even run. But they've changed their game. They got a lot of speed on the field, and they're putting pressure on their opponent.
So you got to have more looks at second. Guy's got to step off and fake the second. You got to be aware of that runner on second.
Yeah, you do. And you know, everybody's aware of it. And we know they're going to go. It's just a matter of execution and doing the things we need to do to give us the best chance to throw them out or to keep them from running.
How could the play have been better with Alvarez and Flores? Because Flores almost got killed on the play. When Marte went in there. Marte's a tough kid. How could that play have been better?
Well, I think Flores could have got in there a little bit sooner. I think it was a little bit late. And, again, that's what speed does. Mm-hmm. Marte's in a dead sprint, and now third baseman's got to get over there on that inside move. And if Alvarez made a good throw, he would have been out. But he, you know, as Flores was moving towards third to get in position, Alvarez threw it kind of to his left, and, you know, when Flores was coming straight in, he really couldn't adjust. So it was mostly just a bad throw. And, again, speed can make those things happen.
What was Crawford doing yesterday when you guys had first and second? Caselli couldn't get the bunt down, which happens, but then Crawford took off. What happened there?
Well, it's the same as Marte and Andrus and these guys, and Craw is very, very good at it as well. He's a veteran player. He's ready for the moment. He wanted to steal the base. We couldn't get the bunt down. We'd move two guys into scoring position. It's aggressive play, and he's done it so many times. And you got to tip your hat to Bo Mel on the other side for putting the inside move on, because if they didn't put the inside move on, we probably have second and third. And it's just as if we got the bunt down. So that's one thing I appreciate, Craw, and you mentioned Marte and Endress and these guys. They have experience. They're not scared or afraid to take a chance and make something happen. And, you know, players do that. The good players do that, and sometimes you get caught.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just to take it one step further, with the professor here on Sunday morning, what do you have to look for on the pitcher? When can you go? In other words, that leg, he could always spin around, like you say, the inside move. What do you have to look for to know that he's going to the plate?
Well, that's the tough thing. You know, at first base, there's all kinds of keys. You know, he may lean a little bit. You may watch the, you know, his back foot disengage from the rubber. There's all kinds of keys at first. But at second, the one thing that you can't read is the inside move, because as soon as the pitcher lifts, if you take off and he decides to do an inside move, you know, he can come all the way up to the top and spin around. That really should be outlawed in the game, honestly. Mm-hmm. You talk about deceiving the runner. All these rule changes, and they still allow this inside move. That's deceiving the runner more than anything else I've ever seen in a game. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, back to your question, you're really at the mercy of the pitcher, and just knowing that a pitcher will do that, you got to be a little more cautious, you know, stealing when you're losing, stealing when, you know, you got big hitters at the plate. But once again, how many times do you see a pitcher do that? It's not that often. And, guys that play the game, they realize certain pitchers can handle the runners and still make their pitches. And some pitchers, they're just so focused on the hitter, they can't handle the runners as well. Mm-hmm. And those are the guys you take advantage of.
Boy, great explanation. Very well put, Will. Very well put. You're right. It is so deceiving. I don't know. I can't tell when I watch it when the guy's going to go to the plate. Very good. That's a good point. And that's the whole purpose of the balk rule, is not to deceive the other side. Good point. We're gonna take this higher up, Will. We're going to go higher.
Take it higher up. Yeah, if they want more base stealing, that should be outlawed.
Yep,
and
it
should have been outlawed with the fake the third. You know, throw to first. Mm-hmm. Remember that play?
Fake
the third, throw to first. A pitcher could do. They outlawed that. Well, and they still have this inside move in place. So I don't get it.
Yep, we're going to take this further, and you're going to be famous for this one too. Okay, all right. Hey, Listella, I just like the way he plays. He did something this week that reminded me of Nellie Fox, who was a great second baseman, Hall of Famer for the Chicago White Sox. Joe Morgan loved him, learned so much from Nellie Fox. It was a ground ball to second, and he got down on one knee to stop the ball and make sure it didn't go through, and then threw the runner out. You don't see that often.
No, you don't. And, some infielders have done it over the years. Joe Panik would do it on occasion. And sometimes they get an in-between hop, and they didn't get the hop they wanted. So they go down in a little bit of a block mode to catch the ball. And, you know, the beauty of that is at second base, if you do, it does bounce off, it's right in front of you, you can pick them up and throw it out. But you definitely don't have time to do that at shortstop or third base. So most of the time when you see somebody go down on a knee, it's a second baseman or an outfielder, right? You see the outfielders mm-hmm. do it on a clean base hit, and they don't want that ball getting by them, and they'll go down to a knee.
Yeah, it was Nellie Fox. Do you remember Nellie Fox, Will?
Well, I know the name, but I didn't see him play. I'll be honest, I didn't see him play much at all. So, I wouldn't know.
He loved it. He had a little bottle bat, and he was an MVP in 1959 for the White Sox. But I'll never forget it. Ground ball to second, one knee, and the ball never, ever went through him. Never, never went through him. It was fun. Hey, Little League World Series is going on right now. I don't know if I ever asked you that. Did you play Little League, and did your team ever do anything?
Yeah, we played. We didn't do much. we never went very far in the tournaments at all. And, I've watched the Little League World Series over the years. You know, I used to train Little Leagues for, 20 years in the East Bay, from Danville to Walnut Creek over to Lafayette and Orinda. Yeah, we used to have a little business, and we did coaching clinics, myself, Eric Johnson, and Joe Millett.
Okay.
And we did it for like 20 years. And it was a lot of fun. So I was very in tune with Little League baseball and would watch a little bit of it. You know, definitely the World Series. Of course, you know, our friend Bam Bam Mullins and Carousel, it seems like they're always in the darn thing. Hawaii has made some appearances. So it's a fun event to watch for me.
Yeah, I think the team from Southern California is in it too. I think from Torrance, I think they're still in it. But interesting to see Little League. But didn't you have a nephew that you went up and tutored their team this year?
Yes, that's right. Actually, the Santa Rosa Little League, Rincon Valley Little League, they're all stars. They went to the districts. They went further than they've gone trying to get to the Little League World Series, and I think in 20-plus years. And we had an off day a few weeks ago, and I went up and went to one of their practices and, you know, with my nephew there and helped the guys out. And they had a great year, but they just fell short. But they were real proud of what they accomplished, going further than any team from that area. Not the whole area, but their team has gone in 20-plus years.
What do you tell little leaguers or kids like that? What do you try to get across?
Well, I think the most important thing is, you know, whether it's little leaguers or high schoolers or whatever, is to pump them up and give them some confidence. You know, I mean, when they get on these stages, they're awfully nervous. You know, you got parents yelling from the side, do this, do that. You see them in a Little League World Series, you see people crying. I mean, the moments are big. It's a lot of pressure for them. And try to get them to relax a little bit and tell them how good they are. And tell them to compete and enjoy the moment. You know, take away that anxiety, because nobody can perform to their fullest or their potential if you're not confident in your ability or if you have anxiety holding you back. So those are a couple of points to try to get across, as well as, you know, want the ball hit to you when you're on defense, you know, instead of wishing it wasn't hit to you like Pedro Guerrero and Steve Sachs. You want the ball hit to you. And when you're at the plate, you know, attack the pitcher. You know, everybody tell, look for a good pitch. The heck with that. Be ready to hit. Get your rips in. And you're on offense for a reason. So those are some of the things I try to convey to them. Yeah.
Very good. Hey, for the first time in 70 years, it's going to happen in a couple of years, Major League Baseball is not going to have a contract with Topps Baseball Cards.
And really?
Well, this, for me, I mean, this, I go back to the beginning with Topps, and, you know, I still have some of my old cards around. But did you ever collect baseball cards as a kid?
Oh, yeah. Sure did. We used to flip them. So you'd get your cards, and it wasn't as much, you know, you wanted your local team. I grew up with a Red Sox fan, so you wanted all the Red Sox guys. But the thing you wanted more than anything was to have more cards than your buddy, right? So so you go flip them. Remember, you'd flip them, you know, if they're face up, you win. And we did that for hours on end. You know, my buddies put them in the spokes of your bicycles. Right. I never liked that. You know, it makes the sound. And I'll tell you another thing about Topps. Well, that was the only card company was around. And then the big boom with all the card companies went on. But, you know, the first thing I did as a professional in my rookie years, you sign a contract with Topps. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting my check from Topps when I got to the major leagues. I think it was like a $500 check. Mm-hmm. And then I looked for my card. And they never printed it.
Come on.
They never printed it. They didn't want to waste the paper, I guess. But, you know, I was up for parts of 3 years, and some other guys that had a cup of coffee, they had cards. And I finally called Topps, you know, back when I was a young player. Uh-huh. And I asked them about it, and they go, well, yeah, we just didn't print it. I said, okay. Well, I got the money anyways.
Well, you still, I mean, it's still a big money maker for the players. I think the check, I could be wrong, isn't it like $2,500 or something from the licensing?
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, if that goes to the licensing and, you know, everybody benefits from the licensing money, or if the players actually get an individual check from Topps. Back then, when Topps was the only card company, you got a check straight from Topps.
Well, you must have cards now as a coach, because they put out cards on coaches, don't they?
Yeah, I had the one with the Giants. We had, you know, for years we had the mothers. Remember the mothers'
cookies?
Cards?
Absolutely.
Mothers' cookies?
Wayne Bebb, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes, great guy. Every year we do that, and you had all the coaches on one card. You have your mugshot on there. I remember those cards, and you know most of the teams do put a card out for the coaches now. But you know the big companies, you know Tops and all the other Fleer and all the other people, they usually don't print any coaches, so it's all about the players, which it should be.
All right. Well, no more Tops. Another year or two. The name of the new company is Fanatics. So I can just imagine, yeah, that, what that's going to look like. But, you know, they made probably a better monetary deal with the MLB or the union, whatever, and that's the way it goes. But Topps cards were great. Did you ever save, last question, did you ever save any at all? Or who threw them out? Did your mother throw the cards away?
No, she didn't. You know, there might be some in the attic somewhere. You know, I've had a few signed. I mean, it was years ago that it was a big deal, and everybody thought they were going to make a lot of money on these baseball cards, and maybe you do, but, you know, you get busy, and that goes by the wayside. I probably have some cards in the attic somewhere that I put in little plastic folders and that were signed. Rookie cards, right? You always wanted the rookie card of particular players, but I never really got into the collecting part of it. I enjoyed flipping the cards more than anything.
Yeah, I did too. We did it at lunchtime in Brooklyn. That was the big deal. You'd throw it against the wall, and you'd try to get a leaner. And if you could do
that,
In Brooklyn, it was a huge deal in those days. But that's what we used to do with the baseball cards. It's fun. The cards are fun. Hey, one last thought on a little bit of defense that I noticed. This halfway in stuff, you don't bring the whole infield in that much anymore? You go halfway now?
Well, with nobody out, that's the preferred play because let's say you have a guy in third with nobody out. If you come all the way up on the grass, you're shortening your range a little bit. And if it's not a burner over there, even if it is a burner, most of the time you're not going to send the guy on a contact play, meaning as soon as the ball is hit to take off with nobody out, because if he's thrown out, that's the end of it. So you have another chance to score him. So you're more cautious. You make the ball go through the infield because you got another batter coming up. So if that guy hits a ground ball and you don't go, so be it. You know, you didn't take a chance of getting thrown out because the next guy can come up with one out. Now you bring the infield all the way up to the grouse with one out, especially if it's a fast guy, because most likely they're going to go on contact. Mm-hmm. Unless the team is losing, but you still have to play in because you can't just give them the run. So where you see this, we call it a three-depth. The priority is to keep the runner at third from scoring. Now, if it's a catcher and he's slow, you may be at double play depth with nobody out. Mm-hmm. If it's a fast guy, you're going to be a few steps behind the grass. So it all depends on the runner's speed and the scoreboard on where you play it. But that's why you see it, because with nobody out, you don't see it as much with one out, unless there's men on first and third. Now you're in a position to take a slow roller and throw the guy out at home, or take a hard hit ball and turn two. Because most of the time when you're all the way up on the grass in first and third, you're not in a good position to turn a double play. And you don't want a double play because the run will still score. So you see the three depth mostly with nobody out.
Boy, great stuff. You see a lot of it because you got a lot of people on base, and I've seen it a lot in the last week or two, and I hadn't seen that much before. Well, I appreciate the time this morning. This is what a great weekend. This is a lot of fun. I think I had 10 Greg Jeffries rookie cards. I think that was my investment.
Oh, there you go. Well, you must have been good at getting the leaner.
I could throw it against the wall. I could do that. And we used to do that lunchtime, and then I could flip. I could get maybe five heads in a row, and then I was in trouble after that.
But that's pretty good right there.
Hey, come on. It's a great part of baseball. We love it. Yeah. Hey, River Islands, you know, we talked about it last week, about all the analytics of putting floor plans together and everything else. I got some nice comments on that. That is what they do, Woe. They figure out what the demographics are, what people need, and then they tailor a house for you out at River Islands. How about that?
Yeah, no question. If you really break it down like you did, you know, the developers and the planners did a great job, not just on the homes, but the whole community. Everything is so close to one another. You don't have to get in your car. You can go on the walk along the river. You have the lakes right there. So it really is a development that was well planned and, as you say, has something for everybody, not just the homes, but all the activities and things that you can do around. And it's still growing, right?
Absolutely. They got another school. Yeah.
Another school's coming, and you're going to see more and more coming on out there. And I know it's a great place to go in the fall. You got the Del Oso Farm over there with all the Halloween activities. So it's a great area, and hopefully people will get a chance to check it out.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, I was thinking it's a good thing for you in the winter to do some clinics out there, you know, in that beautiful field out there.
Well, I know they have a lot of activities out there, and Don Johns is, you know, now that the pandemic is lightened up a little bit, hopefully, you know, we don't, with this Delta variant, things don't change. But I know they're trying to get more activities out there, and I think they had a scouts thing going on a month ago. I don't have the details in front of me, but you know he's going to do everything he can to bring baseball to that beautiful field they have out at River Islands.
No, absolutely. All right, well, have a good Sunday, and if you get a ground ball, make sure you throw it over the screen. You don't want to be another Antoine Richardson, believe me.
You got it. I'm going to put a heat pack on the shoulder today and be stretching over there. I'll be ready.
All right, well, have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty.
All right, that is Ron Wotus. Bill Lasky, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Marty. How are you?
Well, it's all right. You know, yesterday took a lot out of me watching that game, the back and forth. What a game.
It was really a good game. A lot of miscues by the Giants early in the game, middle of the game, and then the eighth inning blunders on the bases and the bunt. You're just wondering how much more could they sustain. But sure enough, I thought the Brandon Belt walk in the ninth inning was such a
huge
key at bat. Yeah. And he took some really close pitches. Of course, Posey struck out on a changeup that really was a good changeup. And then Brandon Belt 3-1 swings at it, and I'm like, uh-oh, here we go again. But he took the walk. And next thing you know, the magic happened, and Lamont Wade Jr. hit one right down the right field line for a home run.
Boy, what a day. What a day.
It was fun. Fun day.
How are you at flipping baseball cards?
I did a little bit of that, but you know what, Marty? I put them in my bicycle. I put them on the spokes all the time and rode them like that. So you had that little noise when you rode your bicycle. I remember doing that all the time. I couldn't remember which ones I put in my bicycle because most likely they were probably the Mickey Mantles and Al Kalines and all the good ones. But
you'd be living in Hawaii now.
Yeah, exactly. My brother and I, we took them and we put them in a box. They used to have Cane's chips, mm-hmm. and we had big boxfuls of them, and both my brother and I moved out, and my mom threw them all away. So
yep,
she didn't know better, but that's what happens.
Yep, mothers throw those cards away. That's the big deal. I get a bad feeling every time I think about what I had. You know?
I agree.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's good stuff. So what do you got coming up right now?
Coming up, we're going to catch up with Adam Copeland. He's off the leadoff spot, and we're going to talk about these two games and what's coming up on the road trip with New York and Atlanta.
And you got a good extra innings today, too, with Mark Gardner, huh?
Yeah, I really caught up with Mark and really caught him on a good day. He was playing golf and relaxing now with his family, and we really reminisced on the 10, 12, and 14 season and his baseball career. And we keep forgetting he was a pretty good pitcher, Mark.
Come on, he pitched a no-hitter perfect game into the 10th inning.
He sure did, and he got the loss in that game. We talk about that game, too, and some
Bip
of the thoughts
Roberts,
he had.
Was it Bip Roberts? I forget who got that hit.
I couldn't remember that one.
Yeah, that was a good one. All right, terrific. All right, we'll take a break. Bill will come back with Adam, and we've got a good show for you today. Very exciting weekend of baseball. Very exciting, and I'm sure today will be just like it. More coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5, the Sports Leader.